Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I am extremely grateful that we are not starting this show with tragedy at Daytona. Man, like a lot of you, I spent a couple hours after the 500 waiting and waiting and refreshing not just social media, but also other internet sites and turning on various radio stations and other networks where I might get some news about Ryan Newman. And finally, not long after 10 o'clock Eastern time, 10 o'clock Daytona time, we found out that Ryan is in the hospital, that his injuries are not considered life-threatening, and that he is in serious condition, though described as stable. So that is the most important thing to happen in the sports world on Monday. There was a lot out there that would lead you to worry, and I know it, for a while Twitter was a mess, as you can imagine. And I think the fact that Kobe Bryant's death was just 3 weeks ago and there was a reporter who erroneously described what he thought to be the case about the helicopter crash and set social media on fire. People were nervous about that type of a thing happening again on Monday following Daytona, and it took a while. It took a while to get an update, which a lot of times, if NASCAR has an update, they will release it immediately because they understand not just the fan base that's waiting, but because how brutal these crashes look. I mean, and this one with Ryan Newman was particularly scary to watch. The safety features on these cars are incredible. These drivers are essentially strapped into cages. And they put these cages through all types of stress tests and crash tests, as you can imagine. And again, the safety features like the head and neck restraints, these are all designed to go through the most rigorous crashes. But when you see a car get bounced up in the air and flipped upside down and go sliding down the track and across the finish line, and there's flames everywhere. And then, in addition to that, you don't have any update for a couple of hours. Sometimes it's easier to imagine the worst. And so I'm very thankful. Again, the report from NASCAR and from Ryan Newman's team from Roush Racing is that he is in the hospital. Doctors are continuing to work on him. His injuries are not considered to be life-threatening. He is in serious but stable condition. And I'm so thankful that's how we're starting this show and not talking about a tragedy and a loss of a very popular NASCAR driver. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and we'll get some reaction from Daytona. Man, it was such a beautiful day in northeastern Florida as well, where the race was taking place. They had to postpone it from Sunday because of all of the rains, the downpours, and how long it takes to dry the track. And it was so nice to see the sunshine and to see some good racing. And then always, as happens, guys get eager, and there are a lot of first-timers in this race. And without experience in these restrictor plate races, very often rookies get nervous and guys don't want to work with them. And it can turn into a chain reaction. So we did see one humongous wreck with 16 laps to go that claimed Jimmy Johnson, among others. And we're so used to seeing these guys pop right out of their cars. If you're not familiar with NASCAR, the sign, the universal sign that drivers are supposed to use when they're okay, is to put the webbing that's so they don't have windows, right? They don't have windows that roll up and roll down. They have a webbing that's next to their driver's side, or that's on their driver's side where the window would normally be. And so the universal sign is that they're supposed to drop that webbing, unhitch it and drop it outside the car so that the safety crews as well as their own teams know that they're okay. And so in the case of this other really big wreck, you had cars and debris strewn all over the infield and the track, and they had to red flag the race so that they could clean up and make sure that it was safe for the other drivers to resume. So this was a huge wreck that seemed like it affected half the field. It happened right behind the leaders, and it was just a chain reaction. And so that took out a bunch of drivers, but then still there was a race to the finish, and there were some veterans as well as some rookies that were part of this and in this situation for the first time. And Denny Hamlin actually got passed with, I think it was a lap and a half to go as they're coming around to get the white flag, which signals that there's one lap to go. He had been passed for the lead, and it was Ryan Newman and it was Dave Blaney, I think, who was behind him, who was pushing him. Drafting is a major part of Daytona because of the restrictor plates and just because of how the cars run. And so it was really tense anyway. And this was already the longest Daytona in history. So it was a green-white checker, essentially overtime, because they had another wreck right before they were supposed to finish the 500 miles. And so they're already in overtime. No matter what, now they're going to finish this race, whether it's under caution or whether it's with a checkered flag. And so tension is building, and the idea of winning a Daytona 500 gets guys to do maybe some more bold and aggressive moves that they might not try in other races. Why? Because you win the 500 and it changes your life. It changes your career. It changes your life. And so there they are, racing back to the checkered flag, and all hell broke loose.
Ryan Newman off turn four for the final time. Blaney to the outside, to the inside. Here comes Hamlin up the outside.
Wow.
Crash into the wall, into the air, goes Newman.
Upside down.
In a shower of sparks on his roof, Ryan Newman comes across the line fourth.
If you have not seen the pictures of the car, the crash video, of course, is out there, but there's the pictures of the car that was so mangled, and it was really a crumpled heap of metal smashed all together, and there were flames, and there was fuel that was pouring out of the car onto the track. The safety crews get there right away, and they were able to douse the flames. The problem was they had to flip the car right side up before they could get him out of the vehicle. And then they were waiting for the ambulance. And thankfully there were a couple of reports. And I have a friend who works for Fox, who was in touch with the video trucks, and they had video and they could see that Ryan Newman was awake, at least when they had pulled him out of the car. So there was that was a positive sign, but then he was rushed to the trauma center at the nearby hospital. And so, you didn't really know what happened after that because the media was all pulled off pit road so they could get the ambulances and the crews through there. And they went straight to the hospital and put him right into the trauma center. And so then it was a long wait, and it certainly was scary to watch. And while all of this is happening, Denny Hamlin and his team, because with that crash and with the contact at the end, Hamlin raced back to the finish line, managed to win. It was a photo finish, win by a couple of inches. It was the second closest finish in Daytona 500 history, in addition to being the longest 500 ever because it had an extra 7 miles tacked onto it. So you have Denny Hamlin in this photo finish, earning his second consecutive checkered flag, and he goes into victory lane. And now the place is huge. So Daytona's you could put a football field on the grass strip that is right there in that trioval in front of the main grandstand. So as you're going into turn one and you're passing the start-finish line, there's a strip of grass there. You could put an entire football field in there. This place is enormous. The track is roughly 2.5 miles long, which is why you can have rain in one quarter and sunshine in another. And so it's just a massive place. And Denny Hamlin does his donuts, and he celebrates winning, and he gets into victory lane, and he's got his daughter there with him, and Joe Gibbs, and who's the owner of his team, and and they're celebrating. Now, they knew Ryan Newman had crashed, but they weren't really getting updates. And so you had this weird dichotomy of this joy and euphoria, though a little subdued, as Hamlin is in victory lane with his team and his crew. And then you've got this silence, this pall that is cast over the track because Newman's crash was right there in front of the main grandstands and people are waiting for him to get out or waiting for them to pull him out, waiting for the crews to roll the car back right side up. And so it was just a really scary scene. And I recognize, and I know people are really critical of Denny Hamlin and his team. I recognize that it looked bad, so maybe the optics were tough because they were celebrating. But we need to cut them some slack because they didn't know what was happening. Victory lane is not right there at the start-finish line, you know, where they were trying to clean up Ryan Newman's wreck and trying to get him out and put him on a stretcher. So I felt bad that there was so much criticism. It seems like we're so quick to criticize and judge and we lose all semblance of grace and maybe trying to put ourselves in that position and recognize that you don't always know what's happening. So Denny Hamlin did mention Ryan Newman there in Victory Lane when he was first interviewed, but then after the fact, you know, trying to explain that he doesn't think a win is more important than Ryan Newman's life and his health.
It's a weird balance of, you know, excitement and happiness for yourself, but obviously someone's health and their family's, you know, bigger than any win in any sport. So, you know, we're just hoping for the best.
I say to everybody out there, some people may have saw us and said, well, these guys are celebrating when there's a serious issue going on. So hopefully I apologize to everybody, but we really didn't know. We got in the winner's circle, and then that's when people told us later on the winner's circle. So I wanted to explain that to everyone.
So that's Joe Gibbs after Denny Hamlin. And this was once they had already cleared out of victory lane. Everyone's required to do an actual press conference. So they were sitting down, they were talking. And if you know anything about Joe Gibbs, he is a class act. For those of you who are football fans, Washington Redskins fans, or NASCAR fans, I've had the honor of interviewing him a couple times. And the man could not be nicer and more gracious and classy. He does not do things the wrong way. He's the opposite. He cares about people more than he cares about anything else. And so I'm again hoping that we can cut them a little slack and give them some grace because they were obviously unaware of how bad it was. And so they didn't realize it and they were whisked away to victory lane. And it's such a big deal to win the 500. So just a tough finish. But again, the positive reports coming out of the hospital, they've been released by NASCAR, by Roush Racing, as well as by Ryan Newman's Twitter. So it's a Twitter that's run by someone on his team indicating that his injuries are not considered to be life-threatening, that he's in serious condition, he's stable, so he's conscious. And so that's all good news. Though we don't know the extent of those injuries, thankfully those are not considered to be ones that put his life at risk. So that's the best news that we have to offer. And we'll get a little more reaction. I know a lot of you are watching as a Monday afternoon finish, or actually not even a finish. They only did 20 laps on Sunday, so the majority of the race was run on Monday. And, you know, a tough position for NASCAR to be in, but clearly because of how it finished and it finished under the lights and in prime time, there were a lot more eyeballs on it when they got to those final laps. And a lot of people saw the crash and were really worried. So glad to hear that he is okay and that his injuries are not considered to be life-threatening. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Good to catch up with you. Our second show of the work week. If you had a long weekend, I hope that you enjoyed it. It's kind of funny. I mean, I'm sure many of your families are in the same situation. Some of us were working, some of us were not working, some of us were in class, some of us were off. And so, so now we're all back on the same page. So good morning to you if you're just waking up on your Tuesday. Ouch. If you're still awake on your Monday, well, I'm in the same boat as you are. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We thought about it. It was actually one of the, if you talk about minutes of discussion during the process, it was high. in terms of the minutes that we spent talking about it. My thinking involves several points. First of all, it had never happened in baseball. And I'm a precedent guy. I'm not saying you always follow precedent, but I think you ought to start by looking back at the way things have been done. And you have to have a really good reason to depart from that precedent. Whether or not you put an asterisk or ask for the trophy back, it just, you know, I don't think it makes that much difference. I think we did what we should do. That was, we found the facts and we were transparent about them. Once you go down that road of changing what happens on the field, I just don't know how you decide where you stop. You know, this has been really fun, but I'd like to move on to other topics at some point.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball Commissioner, explaining why they decided not to vacate the Houston Astros World Series title from 2017. I agree with him. I talked about this on last night's show. For those of you who are not with us, and I compared it a little bit to the SMU death penalty, it's just a precedent that once you start it, once you do it for the first time, where do you draw the line? What else do you take away? That's an NCAA type of move. I don't believe you can do that or should do that in professional sports. We all know that Barry Bonds is technically the all-time home run king, but very few people see that as an untainted record. Well, it will remain that way with the Astros 2017 World Series title. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So here's my question for you, peeps. What will satisfy you? Because this is still the number one story in sports. It's been weeks around the Super Bowl. It's been weeks. And I know because it's spring training and more players are feeling emboldened enough to speak out, and you'll hear from Mike Trout, Justin Turner, JD Martinez, because more and more guys are facing microphones now to start spring training. You're getting daily reaction. And because the commissioner felt like he had to address the outrage and the outcry on Sunday by doing a press conference as well as multiple interviews. So let's move it forward. Cannot change the past. They're not losing their World Series title. What would satisfy you? What would make you feel like justice was done, number one? Knowing that the title's not being taken away. So these are not hypotheticals. Well, they are hypotheticals, but they're not. We're not taking the championship away. Okay, that's not happening. And more than likely, the commissioner is not going to recant and decide that the players should be punished because he promised them immunity. And in exchange for that, they had to give him their honest testimony. Okay, so more than likely, that's not going to happen. Though I suppose if internally there are enough players that make noise, maybe something happens. I don't know. I'm just not sure. How do you respect a leader? It's funny that I say that because I think there are a lot of players inside baseball right now that don't respect Rob Manfred. But how do you respect a leader who's not true to his word? To me, that would be worse. It would be worse if Manfred promised them immunity and then turned around and said, ha ha, just kidding. And then decided to punish them. Now, if the Astros internally decided to punish the players, let's just say new general manager, new manager, maybe the owner, maybe Jim Crane decides these guys need to be punished. I think it's unlikely, but if the Astros organization decided to punish its own guys, that's a completely different story. But come on, you may not respect Rob Manfred now. Wouldn't you respect him far less if he flip-flopped on his word and his word meant nothing? You want to talk about dangerous precedent. No one will ever talk to him again. No one will ever trust him again. So he promised them immunity. He's got to stick by that. That damage is done. So what would satisfy you? Would you like Jim Crane to suspend his guys for the first week of the season and have nobody there to play? Maybe some minor leaguers? Would you like it if they had to pay fines that were assessed by their organization. Not all of them are millionaires. Some of them make a lot of money. Not all of them do. Would you feel better if they had less awkward asshat apologies? If Alex Bregman wasn't reading from a statement? If they admitted that their World Series was tainted? What would make you happy? I mean, would you like them to cancel the 2020 season? What will make you feel like it's okay to move on? What will give you closure? Baseball fans, what do you want? And keep in mind that there are a few things that you can't have because the door's already been closed on that. What if the Players Association punished them? Not baseball, but the union. I don't know if that happens, but I do know that there are a lot of players around baseball that are ticked off at the Astros and believe that there should be some punishments. Maybe the union doles out fines and penalties as opposed to it coming from Rob Manfred, who represents the owners. So just so you know the structure, Rob Manfred is not autonomous. He's essentially a CEO for the owner, similar to what Roger Goodell is, similar to what Adam Silver is. They don't make decisions in a bubble. Almost all of their decisions are run by the owners first. Any big rule changes, any types of structural changes, labor agreements, all that stuff. Some of the autonomy is granted when it comes to discipline and behavioral and applying the rules, but he still has to answer to his owners. But the union, they're generally on the other side of things. So could the union suspend these guys and you would feel better? What do you need, baseball fans, to feel like you can move forward and it won't still stick in your craw? Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line. Also on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Keeping in mind, baseball's not taking away that title, and baseball is not punishing these guys. So what else would work for you? You could have the Astros take action, the union take action, maybe the fans take action. Did you all see? There's some type of sports book out there that has put an over-under on how many times the Astros get plunked in 2020. Also something that Rob Manfred does not want to see, but I don't know how much clout he has in that area. So find us on Twitter or Facebook. What'll make you happy? What will make you feel like you've got some kind of closure so you can move on? It won't keep you up at night anymore. You won't be so outraged because it's still the top story in sports. And it's been this way for weeks.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And that's driven deep to left center field. Garner is going back. Look at him. See you later. See you later. Astros headed back to the World Series. Jose Altuve, a walk-off two-run homer. And the Astros beat the Yankees 6-4, win the ALCS 4-2.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Robert Ford and Steve Sparks, the play-by-play voices on the Astros radio network. Man, that call that was so iconic that we loved hearing, that I loved hearing. I'll speak for me. I don't have to speak for you. But the call, the finish of Game 7 of the World Series that represented this phenomenal moment that brought so much hope, or really the culmination that brought so much hope and really joy and excitement to a region that had been so devastated by Hurricane Harvey. And that's the part that bothers me the most still. These Astros were good enough to win without cheating. Maybe the outcome would have been different. That's the part. There's no way to know if the outcome would have been different, but maybe it would have been different. And yet they should have known, of all people in the world, because they live there, because they've got families in the area, they should have known that this had to be real. It had to be authentic. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We'll get to your phone calls here momentarily, but in case you hadn't heard or you hadn't seen, the news from Daytona is positive. Ryan Newman is in serious condition, stable. His injuries are considered non-life-threatening. So don't have any other updates besides that. That's the update we're getting from NASCAR and the executive VP, Steve O'Donnell, as well as Roush Racing, which is Ryan's team. And then also Ryan Newman's Twitter account put the same statement out there. Don't know what kind of injuries, but the relief is that they are considered non-life-threatening. And after some scary, scary hours waiting until he got out of the car and was into the hospital, and then we finally got an update. It's good to know that, at least in terms of his life, he will survive. That's what they believe, that these injuries are not life-threatening. All right, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. What will satisfy you? What will allow you to move on? What can the Astros do? What can the union do? What can the players individually do that would make you feel like you have some kind of closure? I think so often I always put things in terms of human relationships. And so often in the heat of the moment, we feel like there's nothing that can be done to make us feel any better. And we have a fight with someone that we care about. They hurt us. We'll never get over this. This will never be okay. But time and space generally heal and help us see our emotions calm down, you know, help us take a breath and consider things in a new light, a new perspective. So I get it. It's been the heat of the moment, and there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of outrage, not to mention that's our society these days. It's really a mob mentality. But the more players speak about it, not Astros, of course, the more it's going to stoke the flames. So I'm asking you, what will make you feel better? What will make you feel like you can move on? If you're wondering about the Dodgers, their opinions haven't changed at all. And Justin Turner is the latest to speak out. And this is specifically directed to Rob Manfred, who called the World Series trophy a piece of metal. What am I going to do? Take away a piece of metal? What does that do?
You know, calling the World Series trophy a piece of metal. I mean, I don't know if the commissioner's ever won anything in his life. Maybe he hasn't. But the reason every guy is in this room, the reason every guy is, you know, working out all offseason and showing up to camp early and putting in all the time and effort is specifically for that trophy, which, by the way, is called the commissioner's trophy. So for him to devalue it the way he did yesterday is just tells me how out of touch he is with the players in this game. And, you know, at this point, the only thing devaluing that trophy is that it says commissioner on it.
Whoops. So, you know, Trevor Bauer, not the only one taking aim at the commissioner. Cody Bellinger did as well. And take it with a grain of salt, these are the Dodgers, who were directly in the line of these 2018 Astros. And I would say this again. I know many of you are not, maybe you're not listening to the show. You all are listening to the show, but some people are not listening. They're just responding on Twitter and Facebook. The commissioner's not going to reverse course and take away the championship. He's not going to reverse course and punish them, because if he did, it would devalue his word to the point that he would be unable to serve as commissioner. So what if you're telling me that nothing else will satisfy you, that you're not going to get over it until that commissioner's trophy has been pulled from the Astros organization? Well, then you're telling me you're never getting over it. Are you really going to be this outraged for the rest of your life? Maybe you just need time. Tell me what works for you. But it has to be realistic, because the commissioner's not taking away their World Series rings. Let's talk to Brady, who's in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, I could say so many things. First of all, so college football, I think it's 2004, Longhorns versus Trojans. They took away that trophy. And then there's another one in men's basketball, I think it's 2014, where they didn't get awarded. And people don't remember that. But even more so, it's let's talk about the concept of immunity. You know, I think they should reevaluate how they approach that. In the criminal justice system, and I have experience, you get immunity based off of what you have a deposition for. And I don't know if these guys are lying about anything else, but in the criminal justice system, whatever you put on deposition, you're held liable for. Anything after that, anything after that that you didn't admit, you're on the line for that. And there's got to be something else these guys can get busted for. But, I mean, unfortunately, the MLB is not the criminal justice system. And, you know, the commissioner, yeah, he should go. He should be totally ashamed.
Okay, so then I'm not sure if you actually answered the question. Are you telling me there's nothing that's going to make you let this go or move on?
Oh, I mean, you know what? I mean, it's already done. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I'm pissed. I mean, I think they should find something else on those guys. There's got to be something. I mean, it sucks. It sucks all the way around. But it just doesn't seem like the whole process for this and immunity. It's I mean, it's a bad deal.
Okay. So in other words, then it's just going to have to play itself out because there's not really anything they can do to satisfy you now.
Yeah. I mean, okay. That's it. And, you know, and I wonder how many other pitchers are going to beam Astro players this year. You know, I mean,
happen. Well, the over under is 83.5 times.
Okay. Well, there you go. So anyways, love the show, Amy. Rock and roll.
Thanks, Brady. Let's talk to Diana, who's in Michigan. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. How's it going tonight?
Good. Thank you.
Oh, I have something that'll make me happy, and I think it'll make the players happy, too. Since you were right about the money, you can't really take the money from them. And they already said clearly, nope, not going to take the trophy. Well, according to Rob Manfred, it's just a chunk of metal. So if it's just a chunk of metal, then take the rings. Take their individual rings. They don't need them. They're just a chunk of metal. And I think that would, I can't say it would completely make the players happy, but I think it would help, especially after Manfred really threw down the gauntlet saying, you will be punished if there's retaliation. That's making them think, okay, you're coming down way harder on us than you are on the cheaters. And since there's no other real option, since he's laid the law down, he's not taking the title, well, Houston, you can keep your title. That's cool. But you're not going to keep an individual piece of metal that you can show in your history saying, I won the World Series. If you want to know who won the World Series, then you just look it up and you see Houston Astros 2017 World Series champion.
Okay, so then if they give back the ring so that they don't have the bling, the Astros World Series trophy is sitting in some case somewhere, but they don't have the individual bling to be able to show off, then that would make you feel like, okay, at least they lost something.
At least they lost that individual piece that's worth a lot of money for each one, from what I understand. And because there's no real other options, you know, if they're not going to take the title and you can't punish them for the money-wise, there's not really a lot of options. And if each player has to take a personal loss of something that they supposedly earned that year, that might, especially the mockery they made of their apologies on Friday, that was a slap in the face to Rob Manfred. You know, here, look, we're not really sorry. We still want it, you know, legitimately. You know, it's like, that's about the only thing I can think of. And that made me feel a little better. I think it might help the players think about it and think, well, maybe they got to lose something.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a unique idea. I haven't heard that one before, Diana. I think that could be one that works. Hey, take this bling, this fancy ring with all of its, what, I don't even know what jewels, but it's probably worth a ton of money and it's huge. Take it back so at least it hurts us in some way, shape, or form. All right.
A personal effect there.
A personal loss. Okay, Diana, yes. I like that. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Let's talk to Gary, also in Michigan. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, how are you tonight?
Great, thank you.
Me and my coworker Eugene listen to you every night. He loves you.
Cool.
Can't stop talking about it. Waits for you to come on. Waits by the dial. So,
well, that's cool.
He's also my boss, so I got to say that stuff. But. The only thing that would satisfy me is if they could go back and redo Friday. If somehow Jim Crane came out and was more, you know, he should have answered it like Verlander. There's no way to tell who would have won, rather than saying it didn't have any effect. And I just want to take one other note on this. I don't think people realize how much the warnings are helping the Astros, because now you get a pitcher who maybe doesn't go inside anymore. Well, now the whole year, you take that inner half of the plate away. Now the Astros are helped because they know they're not going to get anything inside. So that's just my opinion. Because, yes, these guys are multimillionaires. Yes, they get paid
some of them
to pitch the ball, and they should have pinpoint accuracy, but some of them don't. So if you can't come inside anymore, that changes the whole ballgame. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
Have a blessed night, Amy. Thank you for taking our call.
Thanks, Gary. Good to talk to you. 855-212-4227. I still think the idea of the union doing something might be intriguing, because there are so many other members of the union, right? So the Astros are just one team, one segment of union membership. There are 29 other teams, or I mean, sometimes I forget how many are in each league. There are how many other hundreds of players who are feeling different about this, that they think something should be done. They think the title is tainted, or that the Astros are getting off scot-free. So if you have enough of the membership outside of Houston who is calling for some action, I wonder if the union might do something. But I also think that's interesting what Gary said, which is that if they could go back and do Friday. Actually, it was actually Thursday, unless I'm missing something. But we had the auto on Thursday night, so I think the press conferences were on Thursday. That was the first time that all the players were made available to the media. And let's not forget, Jim Crane had brought everybody in on Wednesday early to meet with their PR crisis manager so that they could know exactly how to handle it. This was supposed to be a strategy meeting. What are they supposed to say? Well, this PR consultant was supposed to help them. And this is the best that Jim Crane could do.
You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. It's hard to determine how it impacted the game, if it impacted the game, and that's where we're going to leave it.
So that's just a portion of what the owner, Jim Crane, had to say on Thursday. On Facebook, Nancy says, I also want the players to voluntarily give their World Series rings to charities. That'd be a pretty penny for some local charities. Wayne says playoff suspension for 3 years. Gregory says, how about banning the Astros from the postseason for 2 years? Randy on Facebook, having Dusty as their manager should be punishment enough. Yeah, but does that make you feel better? I'm not asking what will, you know, whip the Astros organization into shape. Will that make you feel better? David says renaming them the Mariners. That should sober them up. Jeff says silence. Now, I don't know if he means silence from the players, silence from Major League Baseball, silence from the media not hearing about it anymore, but that's also not a realistic possibility. Kevin says the Astros should be kept from playing any games in 2020. I mean, that's a bit extreme. We'll get back to your calls next. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.